In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So we come today to a really beautiful gospel. It's a very, very challenging gospel if you actually read it though. And so what I hope to do then is, I'm just going to go through the gospel and just literally read it out as we go and see the beauty that comes from the gospel. But I say to you, you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Incredible words. They're truly, truly incredible words. And the words are, to the most part, lost on us. They're truly lost on us. Christ is following now the Beatitudes, okay? The Beatitudes. And he says, but I say to you who hear, I say to you all who are following me, all you that are interested in following me, all you that are interested in being Christians, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And then after Christ gives us that principle, love your enemies, he gives us an example of the principle. He says, offer your cheek to the one who strikes you. You know, today, if somebody strikes you in the face, it's an incredible insult. In the Middle East, in first century Palestine, there was no greater insult than to slap somebody in the face. It was an incredible thing to do, to slap somebody in the face. And Christ now says, if someone does that, turn your other cheek. Offer your cheek. If someone takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Do you know what your cloak is? We miss the meaning of that. The cloak was a very specific garment. It was the outer covering that you would wear. In Deuteronomy, it says about this cloak, if you borrow somebody else's cloak, make sure you return it to him by the evening. Because if he does not have it, it is his necessary garment. How will he sleep? Because it was the outer garment that you would use to keep you warm. It was what people would use to keep themselves warm. It was the necessary garment. You couldn't survive without it at evening. You couldn't survive without it at night. People would use it as a blanket. And so Christ is saying, if someone comes and takes from you your most necessary garment, give them your tunic as well. Give them the clothes that you're wearing underneath as well. Incredible. If someone comes and takes your most necessary garment, give them everything you have as well. The shirt you have underneath as well. It's a radical call. It's a truly, truly radical call. And then he says, and if someone takes your goods, do not ask them back. Now notice what he says there, from him who takes away your goods, i.e. someone that takes by force. If someone takes something that belongs to you and doesn't ask for it and forcefully removes it from you, don't ask for it back. Let him take it. It's an incredible message that he's saying here. And then he ends it with a rule. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That idea of being merciful as God is merciful is extremely obvious in the life of Christ. They took everything from him. They took his own life from him. Does he return anger? Does he offer the other cheek? Does he offer his tunic as well? Does he offer everything he has? Of course he does. Because that's the way that God acts with us. How many times have I sinned against God? How many times do I break his rules? How many times do I reject him? How many times do I hurt him? And what's my reaction? What's his reaction? Does he forgive me? Does he accept that I would do something that is evil against his name? Do I steal from him? Do I take the talents that he gave me and I abuse them and I use them for another purpose? Do I reject him? Do I slap him in the face? Of course, I do all these things. And yet, how does God react with us? Merciful. So Christ is now telling us, if God acts like this with you, act like this with your fellow man. Be merciful. You know, the word mercy has two different meanings. In the Hebrew Bible, so in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, it means literally hesed, steadfast love, an unconditional love that doesn't stop. The Greek meaning comes from the word eleos. Keria eleison, alright? Eleos. The word eleos is related to olive oil. So it's not a cooking oil, it's olive oil. They used to use olive oil to anoint people for for healing. So if I had a cut on my arm, I would put a healing ointment of olive oil or a balm, and it would heal me. So that means mercy is not just about forgiveness. It's about even more than that. It's about healing. It's about transformation. And that is what Christ is calling us to do here. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Act in a way which is radically different. Act in a way which is not the normal way to act when somebody insults you, hurts you, abuses you, uses you. And so our offense to this sermon is because we are obsessed with what is ours. I'm obsessed with it, with my possession. I'm obsessed with my family. I'm obsessed with my health. I'm obsessed with all of these things. And the second somebody comes to take away something that is my right to have, then what's my reaction? And that's why Christ then ends with these beautiful words. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Even sinners do the same. If you love those that love you, if you do good to those that do good to you, if you give to those that give to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. That is what is normal. It is normal to love those that love you. It is normal to give to those who give to you. It is normal to respect those that respect you. In fact, Christ says, that is what sinners do. People that are not transformed, that's what they do. Often at funerals, we say something which I always cringe whenever I hear it. You know, and of course the priest has to be nice because obviously there's a weeping family there. But a man dies. And when the man dies, they say about him, he was a good man. He had a great heart. He had a beautiful heart. And then to prove that, they say he loved his family. He was always extremely generous with his family. He took his family on the best holidays. He loved his wife dearly. He was always so sweet with his children. He cared only for his children. He took care of his parents. He honored his parents. And we say, truly, he was a man with a great heart. He was a good man. But would he be a great man in the eyes of Christ? If you love those that love you, if you do good to those that do good to you, if you give to those that give to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. These are Christ's words. These are not my words. So Christ responds when we say he was a good man because he loved his family. He always took care of his family. He was always generous with his family. He always defended his family. Christ would respond with, and, what credit is that? What credit is that? Even sinners do the same. Christ would respond to me, to you, to all of us who are standing here right now who say, how am I living a good life? How am I a good person? How am I a good woman? How am I a good mother? How am I a good father? I take care of those that love me. I respect those that respect me. I do good to those that do good to me. And Christ responds, so? And what credit is that? Even sinners do the same. Even sinners do the same. And yet I define my righteousness based on caring and loving and doing good to those that do good to me. Often something that you can say, not here obviously, this hasn't happened in this church, but in a lot of churches you see that congregations want a yes man priest. The moment the priest challenges the congregation, the moment he tells the congregation you're doing something which is incorrect, doesn't give them what they want, does not respect those who respect them, does not love those who love them, what's the reaction of the church? Fire. Why? Have we forgotten what Christ has called us to do? Have we forgotten what Christ has commanded us to do? To go beyond loving those that love us, to go beyond respecting those that respect us, to become radically different. Everything we do in our lives is obsessed with ourselves, our health, our family, our friends, even our church. But Christ says that is normal. You're simply doing good to those that do good to you. You're not being a Christian. You're not following me. You're not doing what I've called you to do. Can we love those that don't love us? Can we do good to those that don't do good to us? Can I respect those that do not respect me? No, I can't. Can I give myself to those who I don't even know, to ones that hate me? No, I can't. then I have to be reasonable. I have to look at the words of Christ and say, something's wrong. I'm not doing what he's asked me to do. And yet that is Christianity. St. Macarius the Great once was returning home in the desert. He had very simple possessions in his cell. And he found a thief sitting outside his cell with a donkey, grabbing pots and pans and putting them on the donkey. Grabbing everything that he owned, putting it, getting his Bible, which is very valuable then, and putting it on the donkey and loading it. So St. Macarius the Great walked up to him and pretended he was a total stranger. He said, sorry, do you need some help? Do you need some help? And he started getting his own pots and putting it there, even his own psalmody and putting it there, even his own books and putting it on the donkey. And then as the thief was about to walk off, he said, thank you so much for helping me. He said, no problem. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He quoted from Job. He took his own possessions that were being stolen and helped the man steal them. Why? Because this was a man that was living the gospel. This was a man that was not living his version of Christianity. This was a man that was living Christ's version of Christianity. Loving those who hate me. Giving to those that steal from me. Giving my tunic to the one that takes my most necessary garment. Offering my cheek to the one that strikes me. Our possessions, our health, our money, our intelligence, our wives, our children, our families, everything that we have are not actually ours. The Lord gave and the Lord can take away. And so we need to recall that sometimes we think, you know, whatever is in my pocket is mine. But in actual fact, everything in my pocket I've been made a steward over. God has made me a steward over to protect, to heal, to, of course, take care of my own family, but to take care of beyond the bounds of my own family, to love those that may not even know me and may hate me. So this entire sermon has one purpose. Move out from yourself. Stop being obsessed with yourself. And I'm saying it to myself first. Stop being obsessed with your own life, your own family, your own possessions, your own role, your own vocation. And look at the person next to you, even if that person is hating you. Even if that person is burdening you, even if that person is exploiting you, if everything we have, our mind, our strength, our heart, our soul, is spent on only on those that love us, then we've learned nothing as Christ. He will say those words. And, but I had a great heart. I loved my family. I was generous with those that loved me. I always cared for them. I gave my wife everything. I took them on the best holidays. I took care of my parents. I loved even the people at church. I loved the people that respected me. Anyone that was nice to me, I was nice to them back. Christ would respond, and even sinners do the same. What credit is that to you? To return, now we can talk about St. Moses the Black. St. Moses the Black, his feast was on Wednesday. He's very well known. Okay, he's probably one of the most famous saints of the Coptic Church. But perhaps there's some things you don't know about him. So he started out life as a slave. Until eventually his master got rid of him because he was killing people and stealing. And so because he was obviously quite physically strong, he became the leader of a gang of bandits. One day he tried to rob a house and a dog barked at him. And so he couldn't rob the house. And so because a dog barked at him for trying to rob a house, he swore vengeance that he was not going to rest until he stole everything from that house. Okay? This was a man that was used to raping, robbing, killing, all right? A man whose heart, not his skin, was very physically black, very physically dark. And so he put his knife in his mouth, swam across the river, and swore that he was going to kill everyone in this house and rob the house. But the man that owned the house realized and hid and called the authorities, and they chased him. And they chased him as the black, so he disappeared to the Wadi Natrum, all right, into the desert. And he hid out with a bunch of monks thinking, I'll lay low here for a while and I'll hide out and we'll see how things go. He goes, within months, he couldn't help it. He got transformed by these monks. He was so shocked by their love and their kindness that he couldn't do anything else except to become like them. And he became a monk. Do you think at that point, that was the end of the story? Do you think at that point he was a saint? No, he actually wasn't. He repented. But his path of healing went much, much longer than that. Much, much longer than that. He would struggle day and night. At night he would go to his confession father 13 times. I've fallen. I can't handle this. I can't handle my sins anymore. Until one day his confession father grabbed him and said to him, come with me. Come with me. I want to take you up on top of the roof. And they went up on top of the roof. And he said to him, I can't. I can't be good. I still want to kill. I still want to rob. If one of the monks says something to me, I want to destroy him. And I know I can. can't help it anymore. His spiritual father said to him, watch the sun as it rises. What happens to the darkness? What happens to the shadows? Does it automatically go from night to day? No, it's a progression. The darkness is slowly chased away as the light comes. The shadows slowly disappear. There's a progression there. His spiritual father said to him, you cannot expect that you'll become a saint in a moment. You have to struggle. There has to be progress. There has to be movement. You have to start. So for us to start, we need to realize that something is not right. If I define my spirituality on how much I love those that love me, if I measure myself by how much I respect those that respect me, and then the second somebody disrespects me, the second somebody puts me in second place, the second somebody takes something that's rightfully mine, I turn up into fire, I become enraged, I want to kill them, I can't sleep, because all I can think about is how I want to get revenge on them, then I have to stop. My level of perfection is nowhere near. Christ would say to me, and even sinners do the same. So this is not about saints, it's not about priests, it's not about bishops, but it's each one of us. Saint Moses the Black was worse than each one of us. There is not one among you that I know, maybe, you know, that has killed multiple hundreds of people. There is not one of you that I know that has robbed hundreds of houses. Maybe one house, God forbid, but not hundreds of houses. There's not one of you I know that has raped. There is not one of you that I know that has stolen and murdered and pillaged. Saint Moses the Black was worse than every single one of us. And yet he became far, far greater than every single one of us. This is not about saints, it's not about priests, it's not about bishops, but each one of us. If he can be transformed, then we can be transformed. We have to move out from ourselves. We have to move beyond this idea that I love those that love me, I care for those that care for me, I only love and care and be generous with my family. Saint Moses the Black was once sitting in his cell, and a band of robbers that he recognized, because they used to work for him, descended upon his cell. And still being extremely physically strong, he quickly overcame them and overpowered them and started to beat them. But then he held himself. And he dragged them, you can imagine this image of him dragging four guys by the neck, all right, into the chapel where the fathers were praying. And he said to the fathers, I don't think it's Christian that I keep hurting them more. All right, so he had already hurt them. I don't think it's Christian that I keep hurting them. What should I do with them? The fathers then said to him, have mercy on them. He said, okay. The robbers then were so shocked that this guy that was the head criminal, the most evil of the lot, was able to control himself and have mercy upon them and forgive them and not punish them for trying to rob him. And they became so overwhelmed that they themselves, according to tradition, repented, confessed, converted, and entered into monasticism under his spiritual fatherhood. That is the effect of being transformed. That is the effect of loving those that even don't love you, of caring for those that don't care for you. Romans says, whenever you love somebody that hates you, it's like you're pouring coal on his head. Not to burn him, but to make him repent, the ashes of repentance. That is the effect we have on the world. And so Christ today says to us something very simple. If you love those that love you, what good is that? Even sinners do the same. If I think I'm a good person because I'm generous and I'm good to those that are good to me, my family, my friends, let me think again. If I lose my temper and struggle loving those who disrespect me, hate me, don't give me privileges, don't give me my rights, then very clearly I have to see what Christ thinks of me. They can say about me at my funeral I was a good man. They can say to me at my funeral that I was a great man and I had a beautiful heart. But what would Christ say about me? Is that what he would say? Or would he say, end? Maybe we're not as good as we think we are. Maybe we need to stop being so comfortable. Maybe I need to start becoming the man or the woman that Christ wants me to be. Not a good man by the standards of the world, one who loves others, but a good man by the standards of Christ. So this gospel is a wake-up call for us. But it's not a cold wake-up call. It's not a harsh wake-up call. It's not a sad wake-up call. It's a wake-up call in the context of St. Moses the Black, who was worse than every one of us. But because he radically incarnated, took the words of Christ to heart, and changed because of it, became somebody that we dream about being. And yet he started off in a far, far worse than situation than us. So can we then at least start to recognize If I think I'm a good man and I don't fulfill the gospel, maybe I'm not. If I think I'm a good woman and I don't fulfill the gospel, maybe I'm not. Let's move beyond ourselves. Let's start holding onto the principle of Christ. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. May Christ give us the strength, the power, and the wisdom and the discernment to live his words in trueness and in genuineness. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.